I was not always the staid Presbyterian that you see before you now. When I was young, some of you know, my father became involved with the charismatic movement in Southern California. The charismatic movement was a movement that exploded in many Christian churches, particularly those in Southern California, in the 70s. It was seen by many as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was centered around the experience of particular gifts like healing and prophecy and speaking in tongues. My dad was a staid Presbyterian minister at the time, but when he became involved in the charismatic movement, a match was lit in his spirit and he began to speak out and he rocked the Presbyterian boat. He rocked it, let me tell you. After my father left the Presbyterian church, we became involved in a charismatic congregation called Melodyland Christian Center in Anaheim, California, just outside the doors, front gates of Disneyland. My dad would eventually teach Old Testament in the School of Theology there. And the church met in an auditorium that seated thousands of people in the round. It was an old musical theater. And they met there, thousands, the church was packed with people, and they were charismatic. So in the service, when the music began to play, they would begin to speak in tongues. Individually and as a congregation, they would feel the power of God's Spirit, and they would begin speaking in syllables that only God could understand. Let me tell you, it was a powerful experience when thousands of people raise their hands together and start singing out and speaking out loudly in tongues. Now, we staid mainliners dismiss often this practice as gibberish, as mere emotion. But I believe that there was for many something very profound happening in that experience. There's something cathartic about the practice, the sense that you are giving voice to something deep within you, that you are allowing a spring to come up from deep inside that maybe even you don't understand, that only God understands, but it is unburdening yourself in prayer. For many, I think it was and is real, that experience of a group of people discovering the power of God's Spirit, each erupting in their own spiritual language. I sometimes think we could use a little more of that profound experience in our own worship, which tends to be more head-centered and head-focused rather than heart-centered and spirit-focused. But don't worry, I don't plan on erupting in tongues at the moment. It was a powerful experience, though. Thousands of voices, each speaking their own tongue, but a sense of one Spirit uniting them all. It was profound prayer. I imagine that it was something like the experience we hear about this morning in the book of Acts. All the believers gathered together, waiting for something to happen, waiting for direction, waiting for the leading of the Spirit, when all of a sudden there is the sound of rushing wind, and tongues of fire appear, and they rest upon each and every one of the believers gathered, and they begin speaking. And from somewhere deep inside erupts language that they did not know that they could utter. It was, according to God's Peter's sermon, an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, the one thing about my experience at Melodyland as a child was that their tongue speaking was a very personal experience. In their worship, it was experienced together corporately, but the language was private. In Acts, in contrast, the languages that suddenly rested upon the tongues of the believers were the tongues of the world. And in the power of the Spirit, they spoke out in languages of those who gathered in Jerusalem from around the world. They shared good news in a way that reached everyone. Indeed, it was for everyone. As Peter explained, the languages of the world were heard so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. In that wonderful story about the Tower of Babel, we read about humanity, who in its pride and self-centeredness builds a tower to reach the heavens, to build cities, to protect and to secure, and to proclaim the power and ability of humanity apart from God. And God recognizes the power and ability of humankind when it begins to work together. And in a move that raises a few theological questions that we can't deal with this morning, God confuses their language. And so they become scattered, spread all around the world, speaking many different languages. And so we have our present experience, and let's admit it, language can be divisive. It can scatter us. It can drive us apart. Except when God turns it around in Acts. In Acts, the story comes full circle, for in this moment of Pentecost, God makes another move forward in God's plan of bringing everyone together in fellowship and community. There is an outpouring of God's Spirit. There is an eruption of prophecy, of sharing the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ. But it didn't come in one language. It was like an international marketplace where you hear the tongues from around the world. Each believer in that place, with the rush of that wind, was not given the same language as a gift, but the gift of a particular language. A particular language that was able to touch the lives of a particular part of the human family that gathered in Jerusalem that day. Here in Acts, as at Pentecost, the church is given languages that lead to life. God uses all the particular languages of the world to bring us together in one spirit. And you know what? I believe that the spirit that rushed into that room, that first Pentecost, isn't done yet. I believe that the same Spirit that rested with tongues of fire on those first Jesus believers can and does rest upon us, each one of us. Go ahead, look up. Do you see the flame? Above your own head? Maybe not. But while you may not be able to see a tongue of fire resting on your head, I believe that you do have a language to speak. What Peter's sermon tells us is that all of us have something to say. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters, young and old, the ones on top and the ones struggling at the bottom. All will discover the power of the Spirit and they will prophesy. That is to say, they will tell the truth about God's love and about God's desire to save and to bring wholeness. All, each. By the way, that includes in faith you. Did I say that loud enough? So I ask, what is your language? Many of you speak English, some Spanish, maybe some Portuguese out there, maybe a little Dutch. But there are also other kinds of language. There's the language of nerds that speak about how much gigs of RAM you have on your computer and the merits of iOS versus Android. There's the language of Monty Python fans who will know what I am saying when I say, nee! There are the language of quilters, which I won't even go there because I can't understand a word they're saying when they're talking quilting. There's the language of gardeners and of skiers. We have all these languages here and more. And we can use them to speak to the world. We have the language of science, the language of the soil and the stars, the language of subatomic particles and tectonic plates. It is the language of hypothesis and verification, of knowledge and curiosity. This language lays open the mysteries of the universe and the intricacies of the human body. This language of science is able to inform us that the creation is hurting, that the ice caps are melting, that the ecosystems are being ravaged. I believe that this language expresses truth. God uses it, and we learn from it. There's the language of philosophy and theology, the language of certainty, and the language of doubt. There's the language of poetry, of fiction, and drama. With these tongues, we play with and imagine the way things are and the way things can and should be. There's the language of economics and politics. These languages give us the tools to live together in community, and they have the power to bring to light inequalities in wealth and power, and they can expose injustice and name oppression. These languages are powerful, and they have truth. There is the language of youth, of passion, of openness, and the language of age, of experience, and wisdom. There's the language of music, like the bell choir yesterday and the choir today, the language that not only sings out, but sings deep. And then there's the language that suffering teaches us too. There's the language that we learn from our addictions, the languages that we learn as we struggle with our grief and our failed relationships. There's the language learned by veterans who have experienced the horrors of war, the language of those who have struggled with physical or emotional health. These realities of life shape us, and they give us words and experiences that only we have the language for. God can use these languages when we are sent. Now, God, I don't believe, causes our suffering. But when we do suffer, God can redeem our suffering by using the language of our own hurt to touch the lives of others who are hurting, to bring healing and hope and peace. All of these languages are personal and private. And for a time, our words might remain private or perhaps only utterable in prayer. But then there are those instances when the fire of God's Spirit rests upon us and we are called to go out and shout and speak the words of God's love. So what's your language? What words and experiences has God given you to speak and to share? God has given you a tongue and a power to speak out in your words and through your deeds. And a big part of our faith journey is to learn our languages, to wrestle with our experiences so that we can verbalize them and share them enough to use them for the benefits of all humanity. Is that too bold a vision for Pentecost? Pentecost sends us out to share good news, each in our own language as the Spirit gives us ability. And God has given you a unique language, a unique voice, a perspective that no one else in the world has, to speak out in a way that only you can, to reach those that others cannot. Spirit has given you the ability to prophesy, to speak the truth about who you are, about your perspective on the world, and to speak the truth about what God has done for you and with you. Sometimes it means speaking in front of others, and sometimes it is speaking one-on-one. But preaching ain't the business of just preachers anymore. You have a language and a voice. There is a charismatic movement for today, an outpouring of the Spirit for justice and for peace and for wholeness. It is not about an outpouring that scatters and divides. It is an outpouring where everyone speaks exactly the same. It is, however, an outpouring that brings us together, that welcomes and empowers and receives. We might look at the world and our lives and be in despair, but God sees something different. There is a new movement, a faith of justice and inclusion, and we too can rock the boat. Look, they are one people, said God long ago, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. In God's Spirit, the same is true today. We may each have our own language, but we are called by one Spirit. Amen? Are not all these who are speaking ones who hang out at the Presbyterian Church? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Can you hear the voices? I can hear yours. Amen.